Good morning. You know, I really thought that Kentucky was going to have a life hack to win a football game against Florida, but last night broke a 32-year losing streak. You know, how about that? That's good. That's good. Aaron was a year old. You know, I give you some perspective. You know, he was a one-year-old kid the last time I celebrated beating the Florida Gators. But I'm glad you're here today, and those other games will work themselves out, I'm sure. Life hacks. July 2004. How many of you remember that? The NASA Mars rover Spirit had landed on Mars and was suffering a problem with its right front wheel. Bad place to have a wheel problem when you're on Mars. NASA needed to find a way to keep the rover moving on its mission or it'd all be over. After some hacking, some life hacking, the engineers at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory found that they could drive the rover backwards on 5 of its 6 wheels, basically hauling the 6th wheel as an anchor. And what's amazing about that is because of that life hack they were able to do on Mars, is that rover explored for 5 more years. It was only supposed to explore for 90 days and went 5 years. Now, that's a life hack if I heard one. I got to confess to you, when Trevor Miller came up with the idea of this sermon series on Proverbs called Life Hack, I didn't know what a life hack was. Anybody else want to be honest with me and say you didn't know what a life hack was? I did not know what a life hack was. And so I had to look it up and realize that, you know, I've been doing those kind of things for a while, you know, trying to find some ingenious way to make things easier in life. The definition is a simple, clever tip or technique for accomplishing some familiar tasks more easily and efficiently. I saw Reggie Floyd walk in earlier today, and he taught me a trick on a life hack, Reggie, on how to fish with a certain kind of fishing worm, and you slip an O-ring, a little O-ring on the worm, and then you hook your hook through the O-ring, and that way you don't mess up the worm with the hook. You know, just a little thing there. So we've been doing those kind of things for a long time. We just never knew they were called life hack. You know, if you do a Google search on life hack on YouTube, you'll get 6 million results. Isn't that amazing? We're obsessed with efficiency. We are delighted by ingenuity. But if you do a Google search on Christian life hacks, you won't find a whole lot. Not a whole lot of stuff on Christian life hacks. Now, I found a few things I'm going to share with you later. But in reality, there is no way to hack the Christian life. There's no way to skillfully modify the time that you and I need to spend in prayer, the time that we need to spend in reading God's word. In fact, God doesn't call us to become comfortable. He doesn't design the Christian walk to be easy. He doesn't intend for us to hack our way out of things that involve the slow, transforming work of the Holy Spirit. So as we study through Proverbs, there was a word that kept jumping out at me. And this is the word that I chose to be one of my messages on life hacks from Proverbs. And that word is diligence. Say it with me, diligence. Now, diligence is something that some of us struggle with, being diligent. Again, Proverbs chapter 4 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, what does it mean to keep your heart, to hold on to your heart with diligence? And then the next verse comes out of Proverbs chapter 12, the second part of that verse. But diligence is man's precious possession. Having diligence. Now, if you look up the Webster meaning of diligence, it means careful attention, unceasing application, persistent endeavor, diligence. And the biblical meaning is do something with care, with watchfulness, and with persistence. Diligence means that you and I become reliable. We become responsible. Diligence is very important. Now, how many of you have experienced diligence coming through airport security, right? And I really appreciate diligence in airport security. And sometimes it goes a little over the top. Lynn and I were flying back from Nairobi and went through 5 security checks in Nairobi to get on the plane to go to Amsterdam. And so we've got a 7-hour flight to Amsterdam, feeling pretty safe. We got a very tight connection in Amsterdam to fly to Atlanta, a 9-hour flight. And so we go through security, our suitcases get through security, we get our passports through security, and then we gotta take our backpacks through security, right? And so we're getting through, we've got a small window of time here to make our connection. And Lynn, my lovely, innocent wife, who doesn't look at all like a terrorist, she gets pulled out of line with 4 or 5 other people who weren't in our group. And these Amsterdam airport security people were very diligent. And the whole time, the clock was running, right? And all of our team is gone to the gate except for us. And we've got a long way to go to the gate. And during this time, I was just going to confess to you, during this delay, because of diligence, Lynn and I began to get disturbed because we thought that we might miss our flight. We were ready to come home. We were facing a 9-hour flight. We wanted to get home, and we started getting disturbed. Now, it's hard to be disturbed in airport security, right? You don't want to be over the top on disturbed, but you got to be disturbed enough, and you can't speak Dutch, so that's challenging. And you're trying to be disturbed politely as an American, and these folks were having fun that we were being delayed because they were being diligent, and we were getting disturbed. Now, in the midst of all that, let me just say, of our disturbance, that we got distracted. Right behind me was a monitor that showed all the flights, right, where they were going. And Lynn and I were talking, you know, across the thing. She was going, I don't know, you know how it is, you know, you do this. You all been there, right? Been this, you know, I don't know what to do. And so finally, in the last minute, they release Lynn. She grabs her backpack. Better, I grab her backpack and my backpack, and we begin to sprint through the Amsterdam airport as fast as we could go, because we knew we had a small window of time. And we ran to gate E21, out of breath. And then the very nice Dutch person at the gate said, and looked at our ticket and boarding pass, says, you are at gate E2. So we had to turn around and run back to gate E2, and we barely got on our flight. We almost missed our flight because they were diligent and we got distracted because we got disturbed, because we got delayed. Now, let me just tell you what, I felt very safe on that flight to Atlanta. I knew that they had been so diligent in checking everything that we were okay. And we learned as we got on the plane that December, in the same airport, someone had got shot going through security because they had found a knife in their backpack and they were diligent. We got back home here to Lexington, we found out 2 days after we got back that 2 American tourists were killed in Amsterdam in a train station with a knife through a terrorist act. So looking back, I feel very thankful that in the delay, even getting disturbed, even being distracted, diligence might have saved our life, might have saved our flight home. So why do we need diligence? I love what Jesus said in John 10:10. It's one of my theme verses in life. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. The reality is, folks, there is a thief. There's an evil presence in our world that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And how does he work most often? Most often, the evil one works with distraction. He gets us distracted from our main purpose because we don't stay diligent. And because we get distracted, we start experiencing delays in our spiritual growth. And we start going through disturbances, and ultimately, if we're not careful, we end up facing destruction because there is an evil one who is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Make no mistake about it. We live in a world where we need diligence. We need spiritual diligence. We need diligence for our families. We need diligence for our children. We live in a world that is bombarding the church with culturally relative truth, and that we have to say,
We gotta be diligent. We gotta look at God's word and seek direction in what God wants us to do. We also gotta be safe. I mean, this morning as you walked in here and you rode in here, you saw some Lexington deputies that are here because we want to be diligent about being safe. There's also a security team here at our church made up of about 20 men and women who are trained law enforcement, who are SLED, FBI, Secret Service, Lexington County, federal agents, who are all over our campus today making sure that you're safe. And we want to be diligent about that. But we can be diligent about all those things and not be diligent about spiritual things, and we can lose our way. We can get totally lost and miss the right gate. 1 Peter 5 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be diligent, be vigilant. Now, diligence is seeking God's perspectives and God's priorities. And the opposite of diligence in the Proverbs is a word that we don't like, sluggard. Say that word, sluggard. It means carelessness, neglect, laziness. Proverbs 13, a sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. The good news is that Jesus Christ has the power to transform the sluggard into self-starters, transform parasites into producers, transform the greedy into generous people. I love this quote. God's way to cure a sluggard is to make them a saint. And how do you become a saint? By diligently following the will of God. You just don't become a saint like that. You become a saint through diligence, seeking after the way of God. You know, someone said a river cuts through a rock, not because of its power, but because of its persistence. Persistence. And many of our failures in life come because we don't realize how close we are to success. And we give up too soon. God is leading us and we're almost where God wants us to be, and then we get distracted or we get deceived and we get off course. You know what Bear Grylls, that adventurous outdoorsman, says the three most important words for survival are? Never give up. Never give up. Jesus never gave up. He went all the way to the cross for you and for me. God never gives up on you. And God never gives up on me. And that's one of the definitions of persistence. Don't give up. Don't give up. You know, many of us know the meaning of diligence when it comes to work. We are diligent about our work. Some of us know what it means to be diligent when it comes to school. We're very diligent in school. And we're diligent about the things that we think are most important, what we're passionate about. But remember, Jesus said this, seek first the kingdom of God. Be diligent about the things of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Be more diligent about the things of God than the things of the earth, and all things will be added unto you. I believe that three of the most important things that you and I need to be diligent about and not give up on is worship, our walk with God, and our witness for God. And if we'll do those three things, worship, walk, and witness, then everything else in our life will find purpose and meaning. So Father God, I want to ask you that in these next few minutes that you would move across this congregation, and that we would enter into a time of worship with you, where we would sit at your feet and receive your words, that we would have our walk with you transformed and our witness validated to go change the world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. You see, worship begins our walk. You and I can't have a walk for God unless we know how to worship God. Because worship means that we have a relationship with God and we begin to want to know who God is. I love what Psalm 89 says. Your love, O God, is my song. Your love, O God, is my song, and I'll sing it. I'm forever telling everyone how faithful you are. I never quit telling the story of your love, how you built the cosmos and guaranteed everything in it. Worship God for who he is. You know, our worship doesn't change God. Our worship changes us. Worshiping God changes us. When we become diligent about worship, we turn our eyes away from the disappointments. We take our eyes off of the distractions. We don't see the disturbances of life because we're looking at the one who holds everything in his hands. You know, one of the things I believe that distracts us most from worshiping God is we worship what we have and we worry about what we don't have. Too oftentimes we want a transaction with God and not a transformation from God. We want to get something from God, but we're not sure we want God to transform us. Paul said it this way in Romans 1:25, all of this because they traded the true God for a fake God and worshiped the God they made instead of the God who made them, the God we bless, the God who blesses us. See, I believe everything starts with worship, and diligent worship brings transformation. Paul, in writing his letter to the Corinthians, is talking about that transformation. He says, but when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and we are being transformed into his image when we worship God. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in two. And so when you and I come into the presence of God, we don't need a priest. We don't need a pastor. We just come into the presence of God with repentant hearts. And the veil separating God from us is rent in two. And we begin to be transformed because we're in the presence of Almighty God. And it starts with worship. Worship. This morning, do you need a change? Do you need a breakthrough? And I just challenge you to bow and worship the God of breakthroughs. Do you need some peace in your life? Worship the God of peace. Do you need wisdom? Worship the source of wisdom. And do it with persistence, with diligence, not just on Sunday morning, but all the time. You know, if you think about life hacks, this phone can be a real pain for us. But at the tip of our fingers is so much great worship. You know, there are people this morning that are watching on live stream because they can't be here. I saw 23 messages came in after the last service of people commenting that they were worshiping because they had access to an iPhone. And I don't know about you, but I've got some great worship songs, and there are services that go where I go and watch great worship services, and my heart gets filled because I'm worshiping God. And let me just say a little teaching moment for you all here. You know, I know we're in contemporary worship over here, and we have give a handout, shout out to our incredible worship band. They do an amazing job. They were here at 6:30 this morning, practicing, preparing to lead you and me into worship. They're phenomenal, they're amazing. But as I watch other places worship, folks, we need to engage more in worship here. Can I get an amen to that? We don't need to be as bashful in our worship. We need to invite the living God to move among us when we worship. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid for God's Spirit to move in mighty ways in this place. And I know that people that can come here and can feel the presence of God, can see the presence of God moving. I don't know about you, but I love to, when somebody sends me a text or concern about a problem they're having, oftentimes I'll send them a great worship song, because I know that if they'll listen to some worship, that God will speak to them in the midst of their problem, trouble. So I encourage you to do that. Find some great songs and send those to people. Worship, be diligent, but also be diligent in your walk. I believe that our worship inspires our walk, and that worship will change our walk. Worship will change our week and change our outlook. You know, Jesus calls us to leave the old way of life and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. From Colossians, great passage, Colossians 1, 9 and 10. See, worship inspires our walk. And I spent some time with my men's prayer breakfast about diligence on Friday morning. And let me tell you, one of the main ways that you and I become diligent about our walk is in our prayer life, is being diligent about prayer. And this church, people say, why is God doing what he's doing at Mount Horeb? Because this is a prayer-driven church. This is a church that is committed to being diligent about prayer. I had 73 men that prayed with me Friday morning, and they prayed that you would come, and they prayed that the Holy Spirit would show up. We do that every Friday morning, diligent, faithful, and God blesses that kind of diligence. Some life hacks for you in regards to your walk. I don't know about you, but every morning, the first thing that comes in for me on my emails typically is I get at least 5 or 6 devotions. Every morning I get these great devotions on my phone. And I read those, and I've got devotional books, but I love getting those quick devotionals that just speak to me. And I love to share those devotionals with other people. And almost always, don't you get one of those 5 or 6 devotions as you read it? A little bit later that morning, somebody texts you with a problem, and I can copy and paste the devotion I just read that morning and share it with them in their walk. I also found out on my flight, getting ready for my flight, our flight to Kenya, and I downloaded the new Life Hack Bible. There's a Life Hack Bible. Who knew, right? A Life Hack Bible that has all these tips in it, all these ways to grow a little deeper in your walk with God. And then I've also, you know, when you fly, you have to use the airplane mode on your phone. But the airplane mode on your phone can be a great way to keep you from being distracted when you're in your walk, when you're doing your devotions, when you're doing your prayer time. You can set the timer on your phone, say, give me 10 minutes, give me 20 minutes, give me 30 minutes, and then no interruptions because I'm going to spend some time with God. Because how many of you try to spend time with God and your phone gets in the way? You know, an email, a text, a phone call, whatever, put it on airplane mode. And then this little tip is get free scripture wallpaper for your phone. Now, I'm a little conflicted on this because I downloaded the app to get wallpaper, scripture wallpaper on my phone, but I have my wife on my phone. So I gotta rotate that a little bit. I gotta get Lynn on there one day and then seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and then Lynn. And then, you know, so you got to balance that out. But think about this. I read this, that we look at our phone an average of 80 times a day. Isn't it amazing? 80 times a day. Some of us look at our phone once every 4 minutes. And if you have scripture on your phone, it can help your walk. Because one of the things that we need to do a better job is memorizing scripture, is putting God's word in our heart. So that in that moment we need it in our walk, God's word is there for us. You know, one of my great theme verses in life, and it started in the early 1970s, is Hebrews 11:6. And I use this verse so often, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. How many of you use that verse? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So many of my decisions as a pastor, as a parent, as a spouse, has been based on that verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But as I was doing this study, I dug a little deeper into that verse, and there's more to that verse in Hebrews 11:6, because it says this, that he rewards those who diligently seek him. He rewards those who diligently seek him. I believe that God is rewarding this church because this church diligently seeks the Lord. Amen? And we got to keep seeking the Lord. I want to be a man of God who keeps seeking the Lord and trusting in faith. Diligent worship inspires our walk, and our walk, hear this, validates our witness. God wants you to be diligent in your witness. I love what 1 Timothy says, use the abilities God has given you through his prophets. Put these abilities to work. Throw yourself into your task that everyone may notice your improvement and progress. Keep a close watch on all you do and think. Stay true to what is right, and God will bless you and what? Use you to help others. You see, I believe that God is wanting us to be diligent in witnessing, in declaring the good news. Jesus said in Mark 6, 16. Go into the world. Go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Be diligent in your worship. Be diligent in your walk. And be diligent in your witness. Now, I know that there are many people in this room this morning that have diligently been praying and witnessing to somebody. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. I would say, don't give up. Don't give up. Be diligent. Be persistent. I love what Thomas Edison said. The greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is try one more time. That one more time. Now, we also have got to be a witness to those who need to know Christ. But as Lynn and I were reminded in Kenya, that Jesus also calls us to go to the poor. And as one of my new Kenyan friends told me, his name was David, he told me, he says, you know, part of the role of Compassion International is to restore dignity to the poor. You know, Jesus said the poor will always be with you. What does that mean? Is there's always going to be opportunities for you and I to be a witness and to restore dignity to those who are poor, to help them experience the love of God and begin a new start and a fresh start. Be persistent. You know, a simple life hack for being a witness, I've given it many times, I want to give it again, is what was your life like before Jesus? How did you meet Jesus? And what's your life like after Jesus? Keep your heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Maybe you came here today distracted, discouraged. Maybe you've grown disillusioned with God altogether. But God brought you here. Maybe you're busy, you're burned out, you're bruised, maybe you're broken here today. I want you to know that you're in good company because Jesus knew what it was like to be busy, even perhaps a little burned out. As he said, I've got to leave the crowds. I got to leave the needs of the people and go spend some time with my Father. I got to go worship at the feet of my Father and receive some nourishment so I can get up and go and save the world. You know, we have a God who's incredibly diligent. You may feel like giving up on God, but God has never given up on you. Francis Thompson in the late 1800s was battling an opiate addiction, and he wrote a poem, The Great Hound of Heaven, a poem about God's relentless, diligent pursuit for all those he loves. You know what the greatest life hack is? The cross. The cross. Because there God made a way for all of us. You know, Lynn and I almost missed our flight because of some very diligent airport security team. Because we got delayed, because we got distracted, because we got disturbed. I don't want anybody here today to miss the most important flight you will take. I don't want you to miss the gate that enters into heaven. I want you to be diligent after the things of God. We're going to close with a song that God has really blessed my heart with, and I listen to it several times a day. Lynn's probably tired of hearing it as I play it on my phone or on my laptop. It's a song called So Will I, because I believe everything starts with worship, where we discover who God is. And if you and I don't spend time with God, we'll never be effective for God. The song says, if creation declares the worth of God, so will I. If creation obeys God, so will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If everything exists to lift you up high, so will I. I want you to leave here this morning with those three words in mind, so will I. I'll be diligent. I'll worship God. And when I worship God, my walk will be inspired. And when my walk is inspired, my witness will be valid. So we've got a few minutes. By the grace of God, I was diligent and got done early. Because, folks, let me teach you a moment here. We have a tendency to leave worship early. We get to the last song, and we think, all right, I can get to lunch early, and I can beat those other folks. God wants us to stay in worship. So I've given you time this morning to stay. Just stand and worship and say, so will I. And don't just do it here. God wants you to worship him always, everywhere. Father God, as we spend this time in worship, I invite your Holy Spirit to move among us. And Lord, in this song, there's a word, there's a line that you're going to use to speak to somebody that's here. It's going to encourage them. It's going to convict them. It's going to convince them. It's going to transform them. Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit to move in these next few minutes. We're not going to leave. We're not going to walk out. We're going to stay and be diligent and worship.